If you recognize that, that's a Lego song, and we're going to get to some of that in a minute. But today, we're starting a brand new series called Connected. Hope you had fun watching that. But the idea of connected is really this, is that we all live such busy lives. In fact, I talk to people as a pastor so many times, and most of the time when you say, how are things going? Oh, man, we're so busy, or I am so stressed out, whatever it is. You know, we get so busy. And in our busy lives, sometimes it's easy to forget that God designed us for connection, that we were made to be connected to God, we're made to be connected to others, and we were made to reach out our hand and to into the world, really, to make a difference in the world. Those three connections, God, others, and the world. This is who God has made us to be. But the problem is, the busier we get in our lives today, what I found, and I imagine you can think the same thing about yours, that it's easy to dismiss our need for connection. We start to think about those three things, God, others, and the world, but honestly, we start to look around and say, you know what? We've got other things in our life that are more urgent. We got other things that are more pressing in our life. And so we kind of see those as add-ons. And so the idea of this series is to really remind us, if you will, and to really raise up these three connections. And I want to show you how these three connections, God, others, and connection to the world, are vitally important to your life and really are a part of becoming the people and the person that God has wired you to be. So let me ask you a question, since we have Legos all over the place. How many of you grew up playing with Legos? Anybody grew up playing with Legos? Yeah, some of us did. Some of us had Lincoln Logs. Anybody remember Lincoln Logs? Yeah, going old school. Those are awesome. Lincoln Logs were great because you stack them on top of each other. I remember building this really sweet house, but that's about all you can build, you know, with Lincoln Logs. And then comes the Legos. And all of a sudden, like, the possibilities were endless. In fact, if you've ever gone to Disney World, where it's now Disney Springs or whatever they call it now, you see these incredible, like, Lego sculptures of, like, everything. And it's so cool because Legos, there's a whole lot you can do with them. But let's say you were going to give a child a gift. Let's say it's your child or you go to a birthday party. Imagine the look in a child's face if they open the box and what you've given them is one Lego. Just one, you know? Like, how disappointing would they be? Like, it's kind of like, oh man, this is worthless. Because a Lego by itself, I mean, you just kind of look at it. A Lego is just this block that's, you know, got some dots on it, you know, some bumps on it, but that's all it is. A Lego is kind of worthless. It's meaningless. It doesn't have much purpose if it's not connected to other Legos. And in the same way, it's one of those things where those Lego pieces, they really make it what it really was intended to be when it gets connected to other Legos. And it's one of those things where, in the same way, you and I are kind of like that. We are a lot like that. Because you and I were made to be connected. And we were made to, what I've found in my life is that what we connect our lives to oftentimes shapes what we become. What we connect our lives to shapes what we become. And so this is why it's so important as we talk about these three connections. Our connection to God, our connection to others, and our connection to the world, making a difference in the world. And so when we think about today, I want to think about a couple metaphors. And really, as we think about what we build in our lives, if we're going to be building our lives, what does that look like? I want us to think about this, that it all starts with the foundation. If you're going to build anything in your life, or you're going to build anything, it starts with a foundation. When I was, I remember my parents, when they were building, having their house built. It was a really cool process where we got to, and I say we meaning plural, but I wasn't a part of a lot of the process. They got to pick, pretty much everything that they wanted. Every fixture, every light, where it goes, and all these things. And, you know, seeing the drawings and walking through the model homes and saying, wow, that's going to be cool. Why don't we do this? That was such a cool thing. And so I remember, like, being so excited when they started the build on the house and they cleared the land. And I remember we would go by there. We were probably like the creepy neighbors because we went by there like every single day, sometimes twice a day, because we wanted to see the progress, the fruit of what they were building. And so we drove by there, and I tell you what, for like the first month, it was like crazy maddening because I wanted to see some walls, you know? I wanted to see some studs going up. I wanted to see the lights. I wanted to see what my bedroom was going to look like. But for like ever, it felt like they just kept working and working and working. Nothing was going vertical. All they were doing was working on the foundation. And then they had an inspector come in after they were finally done. I'm ready to see something. And the inspector says, you know what? This garage, the foundation isn't going to be strong enough to hold the boat and other things in there. We're going to need to re-pour the foundation. And I'm like, oh, are you serious? Let's just get this thing up in the air. Let's get it going. And so they did that. And I learned this. It was interesting because after they laid the foundation, the house just went. It went up really quickly. And I learned a really important lesson when it comes to building things in our lives and really anything that we can build. It's this, is it doesn't matter what the lights look like. Doesn't matter how strong the walls and how cool they are or the fixtures. If the foundation of the building isn't right, none of that matters if the foundation isn't right. And it's one of those things where the Apostle Paul was talking about this concept in 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at two scriptures today that talk about a similar idea. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. Here's what the Apostle Paul says about this building process. It says this in verse 9. It says, for we, that's us, are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. It says, by the grace God has given me, Paul says, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so this is our first metaphor for the day. When it comes to building anything in our lives, you know, what we want to build in our lives, so many times we start with the wrong foundation, right? So many times when it comes to our life, we start with the wrong foundation. And so we're going to have some fun in this series. We're going to build some things, if that's okay with you guys. But oftentimes, you know, we start with like a priority or a pressing need. You know, like there's urgent, you know, oftentimes we sacrifice the important for the sake of the urgent, you know, and so there's urgent needs in our lives, and so oftentimes it's like, well, this is really important, and maybe it's a relationship, and so we make this a relationship, the foundation of our life, and we try to build things onto our relationship, and so we build everything around that. Or maybe we take another thing, and we say, okay, well, I'm going to build my life, the foundation is going to be my career. You know, a lot of times we do that. Our careers are important, but we kind of say, you know what, this is the foundation of our whole life and our family, and we're going to move everything around and according to our career, build everything in our life around that. So financial analysts will oftentimes tell us that, you know what you need to do, you need to have as your foundation for your life, financial stability. That's a good thing, right? We need to be financially stable and wise stewards. But we build our life on financial stability, and we let that be sometimes the foundation. And so it's kind of like we don't add any other blocks. We'll start moving forward in our life when we're finally financially stable. Or maybe in our life, this happens a lot in an area like ours that has a lot of kids, is oftentimes we build our life with the foundation of our kids, if we're a parent. And everything in our life, you know, kind of revolves around our kids' education and our kids' activities, and this is the foundation. And then we try to build other things in our life, and we add on God and other things. And the thing is, all of this is fine. All of these are important blocks. But the problem is, the truth is, it's one of those things where none of these are strong enough to be the foundation for your life. Because all of these in and of themselves are too weak. They can't hold the weight of your life. And so it's one of those things where the Apostle Paul, what he's saying is so true, is that if we build our life on any other foundation than Jesus Christ, then all other areas, everything else we build in our lives won't stand. If we build our life on any other foundation than Jesus, then anything else in our life won't stand. And so this is why when the rubber meets the road, what we find in our life is that Jesus is the only thing that's strong enough to hold us up and to hold together every aspect of our life. And so Jesus has to be the foundation. He's got to be the foundation that you build your life upon. Jesus has to be the source that breathes life into every area. And so here's the bottom line for this idea is this. Is if God is the foundation of your life, then the rest of your life will stand. If God is the foundation of your life, the rest of your life will stand. No other foundation can hold you up and can hold you together. All those other things are important, but we got to have the foundation right. And so, you know, Jesus was talking about this in John chapter 15, and he wasn't talking about building. He was talking about a different metaphor, but the same idea. It's the same idea, and so we're going to kind of borrow both metaphors today to illustrate this. But in John chapter 15, Jesus is This is kind of like a dinner table conversation. In John's gospel, they're gathered around the table for the Last Supper. And Jesus is giving his disciples kind of their marching orders. He's kind of saying, hey, in just a few hours, I'm going to be arrested and going to be taken to a cross and going to be crucified. And they're like, you know, he's been telling them that. But after 3 days, I'm going to raise from the grave. And so if somebody is like giving you like their last words, like, don't you think that that's probably pretty important stuff? You know, Jesus is saying, I want you to remember this. And in the middle of that, Jesus uses this metaphor of a vineyard. Now, we don't usually plant stuff and vineyards and stuff, but maybe you've seen these before, how a vineyard works. But with that metaphor, I want you to think about, I want you to hear the words of Jesus in John chapter 15, starting with verse 1. Here's what it says. Jesus said, I am the true vine, which means there's a lot of other vines we can cling to and that we could try to go to for our source. He says, but I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Sometimes we don't like the pruning, but God shapes us and molds us so that we can grow even more, so that we can become more fruitful. Verse 3, he says, you are already clean or pruned because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, Jesus says, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now here's the key verse. I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so what Jesus is talking about is such a simple concept if you think about it. It's such a simple idea. He's talking about our dependency of how we have to cling to the vine. It's such a simple thing, but it's like as we're running around like crazy people sometimes in our lives, you know? As we're trying to, you know, there's a lot of urgent things going on. As we're trying to build something in our lives, Jesus is just like, can you just relax and remember that I'm the vine? Can you remember and allow me to be your source and to be reminded that you're the branches, that you're a branch? In fact, in a vineyard, the only thing that's non-negotiable, the only thing that's non-negotiable in order to have any fruit is the vine. Like when a branch is connected to the vine, it bears fruit. Think about this like a tree in your backyard. You know, there's branches that go out from the tree, and when you see this, you know, say you have an oak tree or something. When a branch is connected to its source, it is fruitful. It turns green and nice, and it grows. All these things happen. But I've been doing some yard work lately, and we've had some trees I've been kind of chopping down a little bit, and I got this nice pile going on. So the people that pick up all the branches are gonna love me when they show up to our house on Monday. But anyway, what I've learned is I've cut a couple branches off, and they were alive and all this stuff, but they were just getting overgrown. But as soon as I disconnected a vine or a branch from a tree, as soon as it gets disconnected from its source, in a very, very short time, the fruit within it changes very dramatically. It turns from being green and alive and growing to all of a sudden it starts to wither and it turns brown and it eventually starts to die. And it's one of those things where when it comes to our lives, we make following God and we make our life so complicated. I mean, this metaphor is so helpful because Jesus is saying, look, all we have to do is stay connected to the vine. This is what we have to do, stay connected to the vine and commit to following God. And it's one of those things that he promises if we remain in Jesus, Jesus will remain in us. And through that connection, Jesus promises to bear fruit in our lives and through our lives. And so let me just ask you this question, a little self-inspection here, a little quiz for you. Don't, you know, shout out your answer. But I want you to think about your life. And on a scale from 1 to 10, some of us like that stuff. On a scale from 1 to 10, what are you depending on in your life right now? I mean, where are you really depending on in your life right now? What source are you going to draw strength? On a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being like, man, I am fully depending on God in everything. Like in everything in my life, and one being like, you know what, I don't really trust in God very much at all. So where are you? What number are you? I want you to think about that. You got a number in mind where you think you are right now? Where am I depending on? Now, let me ask you this question. Where do you want to be? So here's where you are. Where do you want to be when it comes to your dependency on God? What number do you want to see on that scale? Now, for many of us, like, we may never be a 10 because we're not Jesus, right? But man, I, for my life, I'm like, man, you know, I might be here, but I just want to keep digging and I want to be closer to you, Jesus. And it's one of those things where the invitation for us is this, is depending on God more fully doesn't just happen by accident. It happens by recalibrating and reordering and recentering our focus on our connection to God. And so, you know, oftentimes what we try to do, like with a block illustration, is we kind of say, well, I got to take care of this, and I got to take care of this block, and man, this is like really pressing. We got a letter about this. Like, we got to take care of this. All that's important. And God is like, I care about all that stuff. Like, I love you. And I love how in Matthew's gospel that Jesus is like, don't you see how I take care of the lilies of the field? Don't you see how I take care of the birds in the air? Like, they're never lacking anything. And here you are. This is just a small creature, and you're made in my image. Like, do you not believe that I will take care of you if you cling to me, if you trust in me? In fact, earlier, I think it's in John chapter 10, Jesus says that you know what? It's kind of like this illustration. He's like, you know, I am the good shepherd, and you're the sheep. And just as a shepherd, you know, it's like all they do is they follow the sheep, right? And so it's trying to make it really simple. Like, just cling to me, just follow me, and I'll take care of all the other stuff. It's all important to me. And so as we think about building our lives, we start building all these other things. But when it comes to building our lives, the very first block that we build, the foundation, has to be God. It has to be a relationship and our connection with God. That he's got to be the root. He's got to be the vine or the root system that we cling to. And so when it comes to our lives, Jesus gives us this formula in John chapter 15 that he's like, look, here's the formula. Forget about all these other things. Like, yes, let's add these on later, but I want you to remember this, that here's the formula. The formula is this: God and me. Like, this is how I want you to order your life. This is the foundation, that this connection between you and me and my connection with you, like, this is where your life comes from. Like, when you get these blocks in order, you can add in your relationships, and you can add in your finances, and you can add in, you know, all these other things that are so important to me. But if you don't have the foundation set, like, then everything else in your life is going to be too weak. And so this is really the truth, this is the secret that John gives us. It's really simple. God is the foundation, trusting in him to be our source, to be our foundation. And so the thing is, when it comes to all that, there's so much anxiety today. You know, like, I talk to so many people, they're like, man, I'm so worried about this and this and this, and that's merited. There's stuff going on in our lives, but I think so many times we're so stressed out because we're trying to produce fruit in our own lives. You know, whether it's in our business or in our family, whatever it is, we're trying to produce fruit. As a guy, I kind of get into the mode of fix it, you know? Like, my wife tells me, like, you know, her feelings about something, I start fixing it, you know? Instead of listening, I start fixing it. Yeah, sorry, women, this is the way we work sometimes. But it's one of those things where a branch never says, you know, if a branch is sitting by the road, you know, at my house, it doesn't ever say, oh, I gotta just produce fruit, you know? It doesn't happen. You know, it's kind of silly, isn't it? Because that's not a branch's job. It's not our job either to produce fruit. In fact, it's one of those things where God promises that he's the vine, that he'll produce the fruit through us. And oftentimes in our life, we try to produce fruit by latching onto other false vines. And we look around at other people, what's going on in their lives, and we start comparing ourselves to other people. We're like, well, they look like they got some stuff going on. And so, you know, we start saying, well, maybe, you know, maybe the root system, the vine, maybe the foundation needs to be what they're kind of doing. They're doing a good job raising kids, so let's, like, you know, make that the foundation. You know, or you know, they're doing a really good job right now of just creating, like, this home. Like, it's so loving and good, and you don't see what's happening on the inside all the time, right? But we make that the foundation. Or we say, you know what, like, the goal, the foundation, if I can just get in this next year to that next rung in the corporate ladder, if I can get that next raise, like, that is fruit And Jesus is like, it's good, but not, that's not what I'm looking for. See, the thing is, we start trying to do more to measure up, and because we feel this anxiety of trying to be something, trying to make something, trying to produce something in our lives, and with more human effort. But human effort, God, me without God, me without God is an unfirm foundation, right? See, the thing is, like, God, human ingenuity, just our own power, is a false vine. This is why we have to remember that we are the branches. We're dependent on God to work through us, to enable us to give life to every single area. And so as we think about this, Jesus is just like, just stay connected to the vine. If you can just remember that, stay connected to the vine, and I'll produce the fruit. It's the promise of God. I'll produce the fruit. It's a guarantee of what happens when we're connected. And so you may wonder, like, you know, what kind of fruit are we talking about? Like, what kind of fruit is Jesus going to bring? I've got a list. Like, I'd love for you to, you know, order me up a new home. Like, that'd be fruit, you know? Give me that job that I've always wanted. That's fruit. And but what Jesus says, the fruit, is not any kind of fruit. It's in Galatians chapter 5. It's the fruits of the Spirit. Here's what they are. It says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. So the fruit is like a result of. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And all of us are like, man, I'd like to have all those things. And it says, against such things, there is no law. And all of us would say, oh, those are really nice. Those are really good. But Jesus, what I really want, like, I want to, like, be a better person. Like, I want to be a better spouse. Like, I want to be a wiser and a more, you know, a more loving parent. Like, I want to be better in my career. I want to be better in my life. And what we oftentimes forget is that the way that happens is not with effort and fruit. It's by being clinging to the vine, and the fruits of the Spirit enable us to do all that. Like, when we're connected to Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit is we start to love people, our spouse, our kids, people around us. We start to love in a way that goes beyond our own human capacity. That we start to have, you know, a different kind of joy, a different kind of peace, no matter the circumstances. We start to have kindness and goodness and gentleness in our relationships. We start to live a life where we're faithful and trustworthy, and we start to live a life where we don't lose control. We have self-control, and all that is a result of our connection to God. And so I've seen this in my life personally so many times. I've seen that, you know what, when I'm connected, when I am clinging to the vine, you know, almost like a ski rope. If you're to, you know, if you're ever to see a skier go, when they let go of that rope, it just goes, ooh, you know? But when I'm clinging to that ski rope, when I'm clinging to the vine, Jesus, depending on him, like, I'm just a so much better person to be around. Like, I'm a lot better leader. Like, I'm a much more content person, right? And when I start to drift in my life, it always goes back, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's in, like, contentment. When I start drifting, it always goes back to this truth. It's like, man, I'm just not clinging to the vine. Like, I'm trying to depend on me. And so this is why this connection with God is so important in our lives. And so the thing is, you may be thinking, great, that's good, sign me up, I want that. How do I do that? How do I stay connected to the vine? And I could give you all these things. There's a lot of different ways. I could give you a list, you know, of all these spiritual disciplines you can do, and all that's good. Those are ways. Like, you know, we could talk about scripture reading and how that can help you to grow in your life and stay connected to God. And yes, it is. That's awesome. Do that. We could talk about prayer for a long time and how important that is. And we could talk about, you know, popping in a worship song on your drive, or maybe coming to corporate worship, how that helps to connect us. I mean, another thing that comes to mind is, like, you know, can like a conversation where you go to coffee with somebody in your life and you let somebody speak into your life, or maybe can you meet in a group, like a refresh group, and let people speak into your life? Can all that be helping to connect us to the vine? Yep. Another thing is, like, let's say you're just in awe of something that's going on in your life, a simple thing. Like, maybe you're holding your child, or maybe you're watching God do something in your life, and just for a moment, like, just to stop and to pause and to look to heaven and say, God, thank you. Thank you. Like, does that help us to cling to the vine? Yeah, absolutely. But I think it's even more simple than that. Instead of giving you this big list, do this, you know. Here's I think it really comes down to a very simple question, a question of desire. And the question is really this, do we really desire for more of God? Do we really desire, do we long, do we yearn, do we hunger for more of God? Is that where we are? That's where it comes from, is that desire. And it's not really a question for God, it's a question for us. Like God is saying, like, I want to remain in you and you in me. And so where are we with God? Do we desire, do we long for more of God? Are we wanting God to bear fruit in our lives? Because oftentimes we forget that all those things that we're wanting to fix and wanting done, like it happens when we're connected to God. Because the moment we start to desire God and hunger and thirst for him, the moment we reach out to God, God promises that he will meet us there. In fact, here's what it says, Jeremiah 29. It says this, that you will seek me and find me, the Lord says, when you seek me with all your heart. It comes back to the desire for God. Do you really hunger? Do you really thirst? Do you really desire for more of God? So on the other hand, though, there's a second part of that. And I think for some of us, we have the desire, yep, I want to be closer to God. But the other thing, maybe the next step of how we can cling to the vine is it simply means this. Number two, doing what Jesus says. Doing what Jesus says. Now, this may kind of seem funny. I don't mean this in a works-based way. But let me illustrate it like Francis Chan once shared. I love this. Francis Chan was saying, you know, this, first of all, let me tell you that Jesus said in John 15:10, here's what he said, that if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. And here's how Francis Chan illustrates that. He says, you know, it's kind of like a parent telling their child, hey, go clean your room. Now, y'all have had these conversations before, right? Hey, go clean your room, right? And so, you know, let's say the child comes back and they come back to the parent and they say, well, did you clean your room? And they say, well, you know, you've heard this, you know. What if they say, you know, I memorized what you said. You know, I know every single word of it. And so now when I'm walking around at school and wherever I go, I will always remember, Mom wants me to clean my room. I memorized it. Like, great, but did you clean your room, right? And then maybe the kid says, well, you know what? Even better, I Googled it, right? I Googled about cleaning my room. And maybe I went to a conference about it, and I learned all these new techniques about how to clean my room more efficiently and more effectively. And man, it's awesome having all this knowledge. And the parent's like, did you clean your room, right? And it's like, well, you know, I mean, we got together with our refresh group, and we studied the word clean, you know? Like, we studied what that means to clean, you know? And it means to clean, you know, clean with this, like, with haste, you know? And at the end of the day, I think for some of us, God may be saying, look, if you want more of me, can you just clean your room, right? I mean this figuratively. If we want more of God, did you do what I've been telling you to do, God might be saying to some of us. You know, for some of us, we've been praying and asking God, God, what do you want? And God's been confirming it in our life over and over and over and over and over. And it's one of those things where maybe it's to have this conversation with somebody at work. Maybe it's to serve God in some kind of way. Maybe it's to, you know, spend some time in the Word every day. Like God's been saying, hey, I want you to dig into more of me. Or maybe it's like, man, I've got these kids in my life that God has given, and how can I be better steward? Because before you realize it, you're going to blink, and they're going to be grown up. And so maybe God's been saying, I want you to invest more time. I know you're busy, but I want you to invest time in their life and in their relationship and even in the spiritual condition of their heart. Or maybe for some of us, it's been, you know, like, I want you to step into that leadership role. Maybe God's been saying, I want you to step into that. Or I want you to get plugged into that group, whatever it is. I think so many times God is probably watching us and is like, look, quit praying about it, you know? Quit talking about it. Quit wrestling and researching about it. Like, here's what I want you to do. See, it's time to do what Jesus says and trust that Jesus is enough. That if we follow him where he's going to lead us, like, we're going to find that he's good. So these are the ways I think we can cling to God. The question for us is, do we really desire for more of God? Do we really crave more of God? Because if we do, it'll lead us to dig in and to seek more of God. And the second one is this, are we really willing to follow God to take our next step? As we think about that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank you so much for this word and for this reminder. What a simple idea it is, but how tough it is to put it into practice. But God, I pray that today that you would awaken that desire in me. Awaken that desire in me, that yearning in me for more of you. That in every moment of my life, in every detail of my life, in every situation, God, I just want to say, Jesus, I want more of you. I need more of you. And maybe for some of us, we can't say, hey, I desire more of you now, but maybe our prayer is, Jesus, I want to want more of you. I want to desire more of you. And so, Spirit of God, would you pour into us and awaken our desire for you? God, we know that when we seek you and when we find you, that we will find you when we seek you with all of our heart. And so, God, I pray that you would teach us what it means to cling to you, to trust you in all that we do. It doesn't mean that we don't put our own reason behind it. It doesn't mean we don't do other things, but would you help us when the rubber meets the road and we say, what am I leaning on? What am I depending on? I pray, God, that you would grow us to trust more in you, to depend more on you. God, I pray that you would become even more the foundation and the vine of our life, that in you, God, and through a relationship with you, I pray that you would bear fruit in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.